Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. You know, it seems that this time of year, and then actually with everything that's been going on, that people are just at unrest. They don't seem to have peace. They're not peaceful. Anybody ever noticed? Has anybody noticed that but me? People are, they just don't have the peace that they need to have. And I guess if you want a title on this, you can call it Peace in Troubled Times. You know, people are anxious and they're full of worry, and they don't have peace in their thoughts, in their activities. And I'm just not talking about non-Christian. I'm talking about Christian people. But we should be walking in the peace of God. You know, now, how can somebody have peace, the peace of God, when they don't even know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? But some people have lost their sense of peace because of the situation they're in and people around them. Some people have lost their sense of peace because of all the negativism that's going on, wrong information, all kinds of things. You know, Lynette and I, when we get away like we have been, we like to put together puzzles. And, you know, if there is a piece of that puzzle missing, then, I mean, the whole project, the whole thing is not good. And, you know, life is like a puzzle. It works better when there is no piece, P-E-A-C-E, missing. Not, you know, in a puzzle, it's P-I-E-C-E. A piece of the puzzle's missing. But we in life, life is better when there's no piece missing, right? Amen. You know, some people have problems because they just don't know about living in peace with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. All right. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here it says God is the God of peace. Paul calls him the God of peace. You know, the God of peace is interested in our emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. He wants us to be at peace. You know, he is working to have us to live in peace until he returns. Now, one of the words here, you know, he's working, he's going to preserve us and until he comes. Now, this word preserve, according to Strong's Concordance, means to guide, to guard from loss or injury, properly by keeping an eye upon. You know, you could say that the God of peace will guard you from loss and injury, and he keeps his eye on us. In fact, in the Old Testament, it talks about the eye of the Lord is always looking, right? Anybody ever read that scripture over there? Anybody? Yeah, it's there. You know, peace is a valuable thing to have in your life. So I want to share some truths with you today on the peace of God. Now, the prophet called Jesus the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:7. In fact, we're in the season of celebrating when he came. And he says it like this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Now, you know, you could go there and you could do a whole message on all of this, but I want you to notice, he said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then he concludes it with Prince of Peace. You know, the concluding statement, if you're making any of you ever taken a speech course? Yeah, a lot of you have. And of course, I have, and in homiletics classes and stuff for speech. And they tell you that the last statement, the last thing you say is what nails your speech, what makes it what it's supposed to be. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. And here, the last statement is Prince of Peace. Come on now. And at the birth of Jesus, and we're like I said, this is the time of year we celebrate that. Look at what it said in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Peace toward us. Men here being a neutral gender term, meaning mankind. See, here at the birth, peace is proclaimed. The prophet proclaimed when Jesus would come, he would be the Prince of Peace. The angels proclaimed it at his birth. Paul declared it in Ephesians 2:14. Christ himself is our peace. Christ then is our peace. Through Jesus, we have peace. C.S. Lewis said this, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as peace apart from Jesus Christ. Serving him, having him as your Savior. You know, if you want real and lasting peace, then you have to look to Jesus. All peace outside, and there can be some peace outside of Jesus, but it's temporary. The peace with Jesus Christ is permanent. It'll never pass away. It's always there. You know, most of the time, people, Christians, that get out of peace, it is because that Christ is not their central focus anymore. They have Christ is on the perimeter of their life. No, Christ, Jesus, has to be the center of your life. The center of your life. There's a song we sing that has something about the center. I forgot what the word is then. Jesus be the center of my life. How many of you remember we sing that song around here? You know, if you want peace in this hour that we're living in, with everything that's going on and all of the situation. See, we've got all of the world situations going on, but each of us have all kinds of situations coming at us in our personal life. And if we want peace, then Jesus Christ has to be the center of everything. Let me understand where I'm coming from. You know, he has to be the focal point. There's no lasting peace without Jesus Christ. Dwight L. Moody said this, a great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is enter into it. You have to enter into peace. Now, it is possible to have peace in the middle of trouble. John 14:27. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I see some people turning. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Trouble. Trouble actually can be defined as pressure. It could be defined as a burden. It could be defined as you being affected by something. Trouble and pressure may be all around us, but it does not have to get on the inside of us. We can have the peace of God in the middle of the storm. Peace I leave with you, he says. This is when he's going away. My peace I give to you. So when he went away, he left his peace for the church, those that accept him. He left his peace for them. We must not let our heart be troubled, stirred up, agitated. That's some better words, I think. Help us see. When everything is coming against us, how many of you, and you get under pressure, you get all stirred up, you get agitated. Am I just talking to pews out there, or am I talking to people? Are you just listening really good? Oh, that's good. Okay, I got it. You're listening really good. You know, there's a chorus of a song that goes, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Or a chorus, I guess it's a chorus that we sing. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my soul, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. God's peace. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to live peaceably in the midst of the storm, knowing that he has our future in his hand. He has our destiny in his hand, and we have to trust him. You know, you all know the story in Matthew. I'll just read it from Matthew 8:23. Now when he got in a boat with his disciples following him, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered away, but he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I want you to notice that Jesus was asleep in the middle of the storm. You know, sometimes people get fearful in the middle of a storm. Well, no, you just need to have peace and trust God. Either you believe what you've been saying or you don't. You know, there's a story told about a little lady and during World War II when the Germans would come over, and I don't know whether some of you younger people don't know about this, but the Germans would fly during World War II. They would fly over and they would bomb London. And they'd sign the sirens and people go to the bomb shelters. And so they noticed that this one little lady wasn't going to the bomb shelter anymore. They hadn't seen her, and they thought maybe she got killed in one of the bombing raids. And so somebody saw her on the street, and they said, well, how come you haven't been coming? Said, well, it says in the Bible that the Lord gives us peace, and he never slumbers and sleeps. And so I decided it wasn't no use me and him both missing sleep. You know, now I may wake up when the thunder is booming and, you know, outside, and I may wake up and I say, Lord, thank you for protection. Amen. And I turn over and go back to sleep. I'm serious. I do. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Why? Because you can have peace in the middle of the storm. No use to be fearful. Jesus had peace within, But he didn't have, there wasn't any peace around him. It was all storming. You see, he had peace within, and then he commanded the circumstances around him to be calm. Now, Thomas Watson says this, if God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble. That's a good statement. You know, anybody ever read that story over there in Acts 12, starting with the sixth verse? I'm going to read it from the New Living Testament. This is Peter. Now, this is Peter. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two shoulders, soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gates. Now, he had peace when he was going to be sentenced probably to death the next day at a trial. He would have been arrested, put in prison, and he went to sleep. You know, most people would have gone to pieces already. They would have been calling for an all-night prayer meeting. You know, I've often wondered, why you call an all-night prayer meeting? Why don't you just pray and believe God and then go sleep? It seems that we sometimes get some of our own ideas mixed with the Word of God. You know, that if you pray all night, it'll help. No, praying all night, not going, we should pray. But the Bible says to pray, ask God, and believe, and then act like it happened. That's just my thoughts. I don't know. I mean, but I never could figure that one out. I've heard it all my life. Oh, we're going to call an all-night prayer meeting and pray for this situation. Well, why do you have to pray all night? I noticed that Jesus, when he's praying about something, it was just a few sentences most of the time. Now, what we need to do is pray and ask God for it, and then we need to keep praising him and thanking him because it's done. You know, he slept in the middle of his storm. Alexander McLaren says, peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. The peace comes, the trouble's there, but peace comes from the presence of God. You know, the peace that I'm talking about is beyond human reasoning. People don't understand it. People don't understand when there's been a loss of a loved one or something. People can't understand. Yes, we feel the loss. Yes, we feel the sorrow. But they can't understand the peace that we have too. I mean, many of us have been there. We, you know, we feel the loss. We feel the hurt. But at the same time, there's peace. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, the hurt is there, and it's there. The sorrow's there. But yet, on the other hand, we have a peace. Because the Bible says we have this peace because we know what God said. We sorrow not as others sorrow. That's where the peace comes from. Hello. You know, God has promised peace. He not only promised it, but he provided it. Didn't he say, my peace I give to you? Now we have to choose to either possess it or let it stay out here. You choose. You choose to walk in peace with God. You know, Something may be promised to you, but until you obtain it, it doesn't do you any good. You know, the bank could call you and tell you that somebody has put a large sum of money in your bank account. We'd all like that, wouldn't we? But you know what? That money can sit in that account until you make a draw on it. It will. You can be starving and yet have money in the bank. But until you draw on it and buy yourself some food, you're going to die of malnutrition. Am I right or wrong? See, God's peace is there for us, but we have to pull on it. We have to draw on it. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you today? Anybody getting anything out of what's being said today? Peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. The peace of God is ours. We have to draw on that peace. Now, I want to sort of sum this up by giving you some ideas to possess peace, or maybe you won't say five ways of possessing peace. I just got them numbered here. Number one, by loving God's word and making it number one in your life is one way to possess this peace that I'm talking about. Psalms 119:165. Psalms 119:165. I see many of you going there on your devices, and some of you turning in your Bible. Psalms 119:165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. When you love God, you love his word. It says here, great peace have those who love your law, or you could say great peace have those who love the word of God. See, loving God's word allows you to pull on the strength of the word and pull peace from the word of God. Have you ever noticed when people are in sorrow or unrest or anything like that and are troubled, and somebody starts quoting the word of God, have you ever noticed how everything settles down? Why? Because our faith and our trust is in the word. Now, you have to great peace. Not just peace, great peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, great peace. Great peace. See, great peace. That's to me, that signifies more than peace. Right? But who has great peace? Those that love the word of God. Because in the midst of the trouble, when you've loved the word of God, you know what the word of God says? It starts coming out. It starts coming out. I've said it many times from this pulpit. My dad, anytime we had trouble and things was there was unrest, and I said, well, Dad, what are we going to do? He said, just another chance to prove God's word works. Just another chance to prove God's word works. Now, number two, I see some of you writing them down, so I'll go. So by renewing your mind with the word of God, by renewing your mind with the word of God. Now, Isaiah 26:3. You need to mark this scripture down. If you don't have it marked in your Bible, yell it, and you need to mark it. Be one. This needs to be something that you keep in your mind all the time. Isaiah 26:3. Okay, looks like everybody found it that I can see. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In other words, it says here we'll have perfect peace when we keep our mind on the Word of God, on him, because we trust him. I'm going to sort of paraphrase this in 2017 language. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is always on you because we trust you. Now, see this other scripture, great peace. This scripture, perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. Not just peace, but great peace. Peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. The more your mind is on the Word, the less you will worry about the situation. When you meditate, when you got your mind on the Word of God, it's difficult for the enemy to come in with other thoughts. Because he's coming from out here. You get your spirit hooked up and you get the Word in your mind. All right? Great peace, perfect peace. How do we have it? By loving the Word of God and by keeping our mind filled with the Word. All right, number three, to have in peace. Here's number three, to have in peace. Casting your cares on him in prayer. Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. All right. People found it on the front row. Be anxious for nothing. Trouble. Upset. That could be words for that could be you could put that there instead of anxious. For nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay? Great peace when you love the Word. Perfect peace when you got it in your mind. See, you got to renew the mind with the Word. Okay? Now here, the peace of God comes when what? When you're not anxious, but in everything you're by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. When we come to God in prayer, we're casting the care on him. Peter says, cast the cares on the Lord. Roll your burden on the Lord. There's a song I listen to the stations that said roll that heavy burden over on me, and you know it's more of a country type song, but it's talking about rolling your burden over on the Lord. we have peace as we ask God for what we need and know that he's taking care of it. Okay. Say it with me. Great peace. Perfect peace. Peace of God. See? Anybody putting it all together? Number four. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Where does the voice of the Holy Spirit speak? That still small voice on the inside of you. Colossians 3:15. Go to Colossians 3:15 now. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Peace comes when the power of God is manifested. Peace comes in our hearts when we follow the Holy Spirit. Okay? Great peace, perfect peace, peace of God. And then it says, let the peace of God rule. Right? See, you got all those. This other one said the peace of God. But now it says, let the peace of God rule. You can have the peace there, but if it's not ruling, then you're not in peace. It overrides everything. All right. Now, number five, by being around people who walk in peace. It seems that right Paul, in his younger Christian days, there in Acts 9:28-31, it seems that he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus and disputed the Hellenists. And they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Now, ahead of time here, it seems that Paul here was stirring up so much stuff that there wasn't any peace. And they were afraid there was no peace because they thought they were going to kill Paul. But when they got him out of the situation, then they had peace. You see, sometimes you're going to have to get away from people that are causing disturbances unnecessarily. You're going to have to get away from, if you want to have peace, you're going to have to get away from the busybodies. Those people that are always, yep. Always yapping about something. Stirring up trouble. If you're going to walk in peace, you got to get away from those people. In fact, if you're going to walk in faith, you got to get away from negative people that are negative. You know, some people are so aggressive, they mean well, but they're so aggressive that it's hard to have peace around them. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, I trust that what we've said today has been beneficial. Has it been beneficial to anybody? Peace. This is the time when the Prince of Peace came. You know, there was a king one time. He offered a prize to the artist that would paint the best picture of peace. So many of them tried. He looked at all the pictures. And there were only two that he really liked, and he had to choose between them. Now, one of the pictures was here it is. He come down to these two. One was a calm lake. The lake was so still, so perfect that it became a mirror. And the mountains and things were being reflected. The towering mountains and all overhead clouds and stuff were being reflected. Have you ever been on a lake and seen it's so calm, there's a reflection of, anybody ever been there know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, and everybody thought, oh, he'll surely choose that one because that's a picture of perfect peace. Now, the other picture had the mountains. They were rugged and barren. And above them was an angry sky with bolts of lightning and rain falling. And down the side of the mountain, a tumbling water, foaming, making its way down the mountainside. It didn't look peaceful at all, but that's the one he chose. And somebody said, why in the world? And the king said, if you look behind that water that's tumbling down, you'll see a crack in the rock. And there's a bush. And there's a mother bird sitting there on her nest with the little birds. And he said, there in the midst of the rushing angry water sits a bird on her nest in perfect peace. The king chose the second picture because peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That's why he chose that picture. Because the bird was calm and in peace, and yet everything is going on around him. Today, I've simply talked to you about having peace because I want you to experience the peace of God no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, no matter what the devil is saying. God has provided peace for you through Jesus Christ. God has he promised peace to you through Jesus Christ and then provided it. And now you can possess it. This is not the time to hide in fear. This is not a time to pull back. This is a time to connect with the peace of God which you have within you no matter what is happening around you. Peace. My peace. I leave with you. Heavenly Father, today I've simply talked to these people for a few minutes about having peace in the midst of their troubles. I pray, Father, that every heart in here will take what is needed from the words that were said today, apply them to their heart, and walk out of this place with peace and live in that peace that only you can give. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, of course, as I was talking today, you can't have that peace unless you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You can't have that peace if you're not living where you need to know you need to be living with Jesus Christ. Anybody need Christ Jesus? Anybody need to rededicate their life so that peace of God can be in their life? Let me see your hand anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. There's some hands here. Thank you. I see those hands. Are the others that said, I don't have the peace because I've never accepted Christ, or I don't have peace because I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody else want to join these? Would everybody stand, please? I think I saw three or four hands. I know I saw three. I think there was four. There may have been more. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, would you please do me a favor and step out in the aisle, come down here so I can shake your hand and pray with you right now? Come right here, man. Just stand here right in front of me right here. Just stand right here. Praise, come on. There's more hands raised, so come on. Don't be afraid to step out and come down here. Come on. God bless you. Just stand right beside him. You stand right there. Praise the Lord. Let's wait for some more. There's some more. There's some more. Come on. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your peace. Come on. If you're in upstairs, ushers help you get down here. I'm waiting. I think I saw one more hand, and there should be some others that get down here, but I'm going to wait just a moment. I'm going to wait on you. I don't want to go too fast. Are you coming? Come on down. Praise the Lord. Hey, guys. You know, the Prince of Peace is Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you raise your hand because you don't know him or whether you need to rededicate your life. But I'm going to pray with you guys. And then I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, given some books. And the place where you're going, we call it a prayer room this morning. But every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom for a few classes called Turning Point. And you say, what in the world's that? Well, it's a place to get your life turned on to God or turned back on to God. All right? I can't give you this peace that we're talking about. It comes from heaven on high. So I want you to reach one hand toward heaven just like that. Would you do that, please? Congregation, reach your hands down and pray as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met. Salvation, rededication, whatever they need spiritually in their lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down. See this man right here? That's Greg. He's going to take you to that place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. And that room that you're going to go to, we call it a prayer room right now, but on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom. I'd like to see you in that class, okay? Would you just turn and follow him to that place where you can be ministered to right now?
I need to go get my stuff.
Your stuff?
Yeah.
All right. Where is it? He said he would take care of it for you. Okay, good. Just go with him. Praise the Lord. Give them a hand as they go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God that they will have the peace of God in their heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I keep coming back to that. The Lord keeps bringing it back to me to say to you, let not your heart be troubled. Live in the peace of God. Live with the peace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, trust you got something out of that today. I see that on our Rhema.tv, we had 1,585, and we had 2,100 people check in on Facebook. I don't know how many of them stayed the whole time. I trust a whole bunch of them did, but praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Remember all the announcements. Staff, y'all can go to the doors. Connection team, go find our first-time guests, please. And take them to that, receive that special gift, okay? Nobody else moving unless you absolutely have to. Let these, our first-time guests get out. Let the staff get to the doors. That's where we all are if you need us. That's where we're going to be. Let's see, I'm going to be at the south door today. I try to rotate around. There's four exits, four lobbies, so everybody transfers around. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, remember those five things that I said to you, okay? And let peace reign in your heart during this season. Praise the Lord. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock right here. And don't forget, Wednesday night, Rami will be here. It's going to be a special service. Tell all your friends, neighbors, and everybody. Bring them with you. Remember all the other announcements? God bless you. We'll see you 6 o'clock here and also Our Power on Wednesday night. God bless. We lift you high.